ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife Science.
Well, six pieces of suspected space junk found washed up on North Queensland beaches could be space balls that are left over from rocket launches. The Australian Space Agency has been working to determine the nature and origin of these mysterious objects, which, they might be hazardous, mightn't they? Let's find out more about this and everything else that's happening in the world of science and space with Dr. Sarah Webb, author, science communicator and astrophysicist from Swinburne University. Sarah, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Good evening. Thank you for having me back.
Well, space balls. Now, hang on. This doesn't sound good to me. Bits of rocket falling out of the sky. There are lots of nasties in there. In rockets.
What
do these space balls look like, and what could be in them?
We have to laugh, otherwise we would cry, because it's seriously metal containers. That they're spherical metal containers that are designed to hold pressurized gases or fuel for rockets. And so they've lovingly got the nickname space balls because they tend to be embedded into different rocket systems, sometimes even on systems that orbit the Earth. But they can be really dangerous because sometimes they might have hydrazine, they could have compressurized or pressurized hydrogen or helium inside them.
Yeah.
And so if not treated safely, or if leaking any of that material, can be quite dangerous. But thankfully, the authorities have determined that these particular space balls that washed up on the shores of Queensland have been safe and have been identified and taken away.
But how big are they?
So these type of pressurized containers can be anywhere from, say, 20 centimetres in radius up to half a metre or so in radius.
Oh, wow.
It can be really large, holding massive amounts of material inside.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shock if you're walking on the beach and you come
across. Hang on, I'm just having a look at a photo now.
Yeah.
They're quite big.
They are quite big. These ones, I don't know if they've released the size of these ones, but I would not be surprised if they are almost a metre in diameter.
They're quite
large, probably most likely from a lower stage of a rocket body. Now, the Australian Space Agency has said that they think they've identified which rocket body fuselage it might have come from, yet to announce which one that is. But you can imagine that this was part of a rocket that had done a launch, but hasn't made it to orbit. So the rocket body itself often gets jettisoned away before the payload gets pushed up into a higher orbit. And it hasn't had enough of the atmosphere, enough of time to burn up in the atmosphere. So you're just left over with these bits of material that ultimately land in the ocean and then are washing up on our beaches.
That's not good, Sarah. As you mentioned, there's a particular rocket fuel called hydrazine, isn't it? Which is apparently really, really nasty.
Really, really dangerous, yeah. No, that's exactly right. And so fundamental for space exploration, but very, very dangerous if leaking or if entering a surrounding environment. Thankfully, that was not the case here. But it is a reflection on, you know, we create rubbish, just us as humans, we're really terrible at keeping the environment clean. And I say this in all senses of environment, land, sea, space. We often leave pieces where we've been, but it's getting to the point now where we need to really consider, well, what are we comfortable with when it comes to space debris?
Well, there's hundreds of thousands of things up there, apparently.
Oh, millions of things. Millions of things, pieces of debris up there. We've got about 35,000 pieces of debris that are actively tracked and about 12,000 active satellites. But those numbers are expected to grow. I mean, SpaceX has released in the last year or so that they aim to have 100,000 Starlink satellites by the come 2030. So it's quickly changing up there.
Dear, oh dear. All right. Anyway, if you see something,
call your local authorities.
Yeah, don't touch it.
Don't touch anything.
No.
Don't touch anything.
No.
Take some photos and pass them on to the local authorities, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
Now, the James Webb Space Telescope, of which we are a certified fan.
We are.
has been looking back in time, but it can also look forward, apparently. Hang on. You can't look forward. They're observing a planet orbiting a rare star, but the star is dead.
They are indeed. So we joke when we say we're looking forward in time, we're basically looking forward to our future here in the solar system.
Oh,
So James Webb has captured and spotted what we call a white dwarf star. So it's a dead remnant of a star probably once quite similar to our own sun. And they've found a gassy planet orbiting around it that is probably quite similar to our Jupiter, which is quite interesting.
So it's a, what's a gaseous, so it's a gas planet.
Yeah, big gassy planet, big hot gassy planet as well. So they think its temperatures are really interesting. It orbits quite close to its white dwarf. It still seems like an
Hasn't
alive
anybody
planet,
told her
if
that
you
the lights have
will.
gone out?
I don't think anybody has. And so part of this research was really interesting because once our sun starts to die and it becomes what we call a white dwarf, all of that solar radiation, that light that essentially keeps us warm and not frozen and our planet's alive, for lack of a better word, that disappears with the death of our sun. And so this was quite a surprise to find quite a hot, quite an active gassy planet that seems to not know its star
Because
is no longer.
I always thought when stars die, they become red giants and basically swallow up everything in the vicinity, including the planets.
Stars, when stars like our sun die, they do. They expand, they become the red giants first, and then they collapse down, become a white dwarf afterwards. But if a planet is far enough away from that expansion radius, the likelihood that they will survive is quite high. And this is tends to be true with gas giants rather than the rocky planets. We've got quite an unfortunate position in our solar system that when our sun eventually does,
That's
this won't happen
the
for
end of
another,
us. That's the end of
that
us.
yeah, another 4 billion years will be engulfed.
I don't think
But we've got time.
we're not going to
We've
last
got
that long.
time.
We're not going to last that long, Sarah.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No. All right.
Again, we laugh because otherwise we'd cry.
I know. So what? So this lonely gas planet now has got no star to be around. Well, it's got nothing. It's got nothing.
No,
What happens?
nothing
What
gone.
happens to it? What happens to it in the end, I wonder.
So the planet itself might cool down over time. There's theories that gas giants like this, when they cool down, that their cores might become solidified or crystallized, and that's quite interesting. But until that happens, it just kind of exists there around its zombie star.
Gee whiz. Hey, let's go back to the solar system and talk about Mars. According to
Yes.
NASA, Mars may once have been filled with seas of magma. Hang on,
Yes.
magma is like this is hot, like lava, isn't it?
Exactly right,
I
yeah.
thought Mars had water. Well, Mars does have water, we know that.
Yes.
So I thought Mars had oceans of water once.
Mars is surprising us. So we did believe, or we do still believe, that Mars likely had oceans on its surface at one point. We know that there's still water on Mars locked up, and frozen at its poles. But this new evidence suggests, so one thing with Mars, we have to go back a step here, and why it's so interesting is, unlike the Earth, it doesn't seem to have plate tectonics. So we have a really interesting kind of little world here where we've got all of these different plates that are moving about. We've got volcanic eruptions because of them. We've got changing, crust constantly because we're moving on our magma that sits underneath our plates. But Mars doesn't appear to have that. It appears to have one big crust. And so the theory was, well, what's going on at the center of Mars, if anything, was what was happening back in the early days. And they always had theories that magma probably existed at the core of Mars, but hardened over time. And so this new evidence has been looking at seismic activity from both internally and then also micrometeorites hitting the surface of Mars and then tracking that shockwave through the rocky planet. And have found that there's this pocket, really interesting pocket, where they believe there was liquid magma at one point, and it's since solidified and has what we call differentiated. So we end up seeing heavier elements falling to the bottom, which is really interesting because it means that Mars wasn't so boring after all. She did have something interesting going on internally.
Okay, so because so here on Earth we've got the crust, and then under the crust is the mantle, and then but if we right at the center there's this liquid molten iron core, isn't there, which gives us our magnetic field, and which is.
Yes.
You know, it helps us a lot in terms of
it does.
Protecting us. So Mars doesn't have that, does it?
Not anymore. We No. suspect that Mars likely did have some type of small magnetic field generated by a similar type of internal metal, but it would have cooled down too quickly, very, very quickly, because it's no longer got a very strong, if any, magnetic field, and it's why it's got no strong atmosphere anymore either.
It's old and dead, Mars, isn't it?
It really it is. It's not the best place in the solar system. It's a wonderful place, but when you just, this is true for every other planet, when you look at how incredible Earth is and just how dynamic our environment is, with liquid water and plate tectonics and atmospheres, we're so lucky to live on a planet like this. We really are.
Yes, that's right. Whenever I see that, because I'm fascinated by those all the images from the Mars rovers. But it's a fascinating outlook, but it's bleak, isn't it?
It is bleak. It is. I still hold hope, though. We've gotten inklings, and I think me and you have chatted about this in detail in the past, inklings that life maybe existed on Mars billions of years ago. And so I hope that maybe we can confirm that maybe it wasn't always a barren kind of rocky planet, but maybe, maybe there was microbes there.
Once when it had an atmosphere and it had some protection from all these things and it had liquid water, which we know it did.
Yeah.
We know it did.
We do.
Maybe when we go there, Sarah, is it going to be in our lifetime? I don't know that it is it?
That my opinion on that changes every day. I would love to be alive to see the first scientist step foot on Mars, but I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime.
I don't know.
It's complicated.
It is. It is very complicated, that's for sure. All righty. Great to talk as always, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.